Let's move right along into God's Word. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. Short study this evening. You've heard that one before. 8 verses. How long can that go? Let's see, a minute on each verse. 8 minutes, we'll be out of here. You guys can be at the Golden Arches by 8:15, right? Psalm 82. Let's pray. Lord, we have a lot to be thankful for. Sometimes we can get our eyes on ourselves, and especially after the first of the year, and look at the projections for 2011, and we can get our eyes on ourselves and get bummed out. But Lord, when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. We do want to lift up Ryan and Rachel before you, their family. Just be with them, comfort them, give them strength. And may we remember them in prayer continually. Pray that you would provide all of their needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony that they are, for the community as well as for this church. And thank you, Lord, that you take us every step of the way through our trials and our tests, our troubles. And thank you, Lord, that we know the end of the story, the rest of the story, is one day we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more cancer, no more sickness of any sort. But we shall rejoice in you, Lord, forever and ever and ever. In the meantime, Father, we're in this world. You know that. But we thank you that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. And we thank you, Lord, that your eyes are continually upon us. Thank you for your divine guidance and protection and direction and even correction in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that when things look from our perspective as though they're out of control, that you are always in control. We may not always understand the reason and the purpose for these things, but when we don't understand something, we can fall back on what we do know, and what we do understand is that you love us. And so, Lord, tonight, as we settle our hearts in, and we look at government, government that one day will answer to God, I pray that you would teach us. And even with the condition of our nation and the condition of the world, sometimes we can get bummed out by looking at what's going on around us, those who rule, those who reign. But yet, Lord, we know that our God reigns over all of the leaders of this earth. And sometimes, Lord, you will allow the wicked to rule, to chasten the disobedient and a rebellious people. And Father, we've been a disobedient and a rebellious people in this nation. We've been spoiled. We've taken things for granted. And Lord, now ungodliness runs rampant throughout this country. And there's a reason for it. And tonight you're going to expose some of the reasons for the things that are happening before our very eyes. But the good news is one day the judge and the ruler of all the universe will come back and rule in righteousness and truth. And so tonight, teach us, Lord, with open Bibles, open hearts. Help us to have understanding. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight through the words of eternal life in your book. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 8 verses, 8 minutes. Psalm 82, a plea for justice, a psalm of Asaph. Asaph, of course, was the worship leader. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Scripture tells us when the righteous rule according to the standards and the precepts of God, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. Anybody notice any groaning going on lately? No matter what party is in office, somebody's groaning and griping. And there's a reason for that. No matter who rules, Republicans, Democrats, unless we have people that walk in obedience to the Word of God, there's going to be groaning. There's going to be wickedness. When the wicked rule, the people groan. And so tonight, we're going to look at some very interesting things that God gives us through Asaph in His Word. Have you ever noticed when people take the oath of office, which many of them did this week, they put their hand on the Bible and they make an oath, a covenant before God. I wonder how many of them even have any idea what's in that book that they lay their hand upon and they give an oath upon. It's pretty heavy. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, God lays it out very clearly to Israel. He says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. We started off on the right foot in America, didn't we? God blessed us. We were a land flowing with milk and honey. Why? Because this nation was founded upon the Word of God, this book. The leaders of this nation knew what this book said. As a matter of fact, two-thirds of the men that signed the Declaration of Independence were ordained ministers. They were born-again Christians. But yet today, as I said, some people go into this office not knowing that they shall receive stricter judgment. And that's what the first section of this psalm is all about. And God goes on to say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you shall walk by the way when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Matter of fact, you go to Washington, D.C. today, and there are scripture verses all over the Capitol, all over the place. So many of them, I can't even point them out to you. But yet, how often do you hear of anybody quoting scriptures, especially in the area of government? And so tonight, in Psalm 82, the theme, of course, the title is Judging the Judges. God will judge the judges. God is the judge, capital J. And God one day will judge those that rule in our nation and throughout all of the nations of the world. In this life, there are certain decisions that we must make where a person must not enter into them unadvisedly. Covenants. When you make a covenant, you are not to enter into that covenant unadvisedly. You need to know what type of a covenant you're making. One of the covenants that I always deal with as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that of marriage. Marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. A covenant is based on trust. A contract, we have contracts due to distrust. A covenant is based upon the vows. Marriage, for instance, before the vows, I always read to those that are going to be married, that marriage is not to be entered into unadvisedly. That's part of the service that I do in a marriage. You are not to enter into marriage unadvisedly, but reverently and discreetly in the fear of God. This week, all over the country, hundreds of men and women took oaths or vows for political office, and I wonder how many of them entered into that office unadvised. I wonder if any of them were told that they will have to stand before Almighty God one day, and they will have to give an account for the way that they ruled the people. The way that they ruled the people according to the precepts and the standards and the commandments of Almighty God. That's pretty heavy. That's a pretty heavy challenge. But a lot of them, they're just more concerned with power, getting into office. They will do anything, and they will pay any amount of money to get into that office. They will pay millions of dollars for an office that only pays hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Go figure. And these are the people that are running the economics of this nation, and you wonder why our national debt's in the trillions? They need to know, they need to understand that they took a vow before Almighty God, and He is going to judge them one day more strict than the average American or the average citizen. Knowing that one day, just as we see in Psalm 82, they will be judged by the judge of the universe. I've got a similar warning in what I do. James 3:1. Not many should teach the word of God, for they shall receive a stricter judgment. And again, I'm held accountable for what I share and what I teach. How much of God's word that I give you. I'm called to feed the sheep before Almighty God. Does that bother me? Absolutely. I'm scared. I come before the Lord in fear and trembling every time I have to teach. It hasn't changed in the 20 plus years that I've shared the Word of God. I still get nauseous. I still get sick. I still get headaches. I still want to pass out, throw up, and all those things. And then I get to stand up here and turn the microphone on. Because it is a tremendous, tremendous responsibility for the souls of men, even one person. How many in public office today on a local level or a national level have entered into office reverently and discreetly in the fear of God? I don't think there are many, do you? Look at the things they support. You see, nowhere in Scripture are we told as leaders, as politicians, as leaders of a nation, to obey the popular vote. Nowhere are we told in Scripture that they are to listen to the voice of the people. Leaders are to listen to the voice of Almighty God. And the problem with America today is there's too many politicians wanting to win a popularity contest. They think that they're supposed to do what the people want. The people really know what they want. Honestly, the people, they don't know what they want. But God knows what we want and God knows what we need. And happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. And yes, there was great joy in this nation at one time, and I believe God can bring great joy to this nation again if we will repent of our sins and will walk in obedience to the commandments and in the fear of Almighty God. The rulers and leaders of this earth will one day themselves be called to justice. Wow. So all these people, you've been praying that God would strike dead. I know some of your prayers. I hear you. Remove him, Lord. Break his teeth. Smite him. You know, all of these Old Testament things. You need to pray for their souls. We really do. And sometimes, as Scripture tells us, God will allow wicked people to rule just to chasten a wicked generation. And Romans chapter 13 tells us that God oftentimes puts those people in office. God is the one that puts people as rulers of the nations. Every king, every queen, every president, every prime minister, even every dictator, every ruler, whether good or evil, has a date with God. They have a date with God one day. Every decision, every judgment, every act is made in the presence of God. Look at verse 1. God sees everything. Why? Because verse 1 tells us that He stands right in the middle of the congregation. Look what it says. God stands in the congregation. That word is assembly. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. God is not a respecter of persons. God stands in the midst of the people. God sees everything. God cannot be bribed like most leaders today. God cannot be bought off or paid off. One day the gavel will fall on the high court of heaven, and God will both be the judge and the jury one day. So does anybody want to run for office here tonight? Anybody interested? It's a tremendous responsibility. Sometimes we look at the world situation. Sometimes we look at the moral and economical conditions of America and ask, where is God in all this? You ever feel that way? I do. Where are you in all this, Lord? Where is justice? And if I didn't know what the word of the Lord said, I would ask that in all honesty. Lord, where is justice? I know justice is coming one day. Just even tonight, I had a few minutes to go home and grab something to eat real quick, and the news was on. And some poor lady in South Los Angeles, her 15-year-old daughter was shot to death. And she's saying, where is justice? We want this brought to justice. And I thought, wow, that just ties right in with the message tonight. Where is justice? And I think every one of us in this room tonight has some area of our life or someone else's life where we're thinking, Lord, where is the justice? Where is justice? Justice is coming. Because God is standing in the midst of the congregation. God sees all this. Nothing passes before God that He does not see, that He's not aware of. But yet oftentimes we even question, Lord, where are you? Can't you see what's going on? Well, I'll tell you tonight, God sees everything. And God keeps records of everything. God does not have long-term or short-term memory loss. And one day, as I said, the gavel will fall. He doesn't miss a thing. He sees and knows what the whole world is up to. Even the things we don't see. I'm glad that there's some things that He withholds from us seeing. Because this is a vile, vile, perverted world that we live in. Just look around. When it says He judges among the gods, in Hebrew the word is He judges amongst the magistrates or judges or mighty ones. He's not talking about little gods here. But He is the one that is going to judge the judges and the magistrates and the mighty ones, those that are in office. Whether they know Him or not, they will see Him face to face one day. Someone mentioned the other day they know someone that's an atheist. And I said, I don't believe there's an atheist on the planet. And they said, what do you mean? I said, because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there will be no atheist when the dust clears, folks. Because God is real. And you know what? If God wasn't real, they wouldn't spend so much of their time trying to disprove that He exists. Is that not stupid? To try to prove that something doesn't exist that doesn't exist? That's ridiculous. God does exist. The heavens declare the glory of God. Romans 13:1 tells us that God is the final authority and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So don't flip out. Don't get all huffy and just have your blood pressure go off the Richter scale because they're saying gas is going to go to $5 a gallon. So be it. God filled my tank at 26 cents a gallon when I was a teenager, and He can do the same thing at 61 years old. He's the one that puts gas in my tank no matter what it costs. He's going to take care of us. He might just get us Americans to go from driving 3 or 4 cars just to have one. You know, what a novel idea. Families might ride together again and talk to one another. Gee, wouldn't that be a bad deal? 4-car garage, you know? What's up with that? God's in control. Don't get all nervous, you know? It's like God is in control. And sometimes God allows chastening. And I believe God is going to allow us to be chastened as a nation. Notice in verse 2, we see the scales of justice are out of balance. There's an abuse of power. Look what Asaph writes. How long, speaking to these magistrates and judges, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked, Selah? There's no perfect jurisprudence system. No perfect judges. No perfect juries. And then when you add, you know, corruption into the mix, it's a mess. Again, on the news last night, some poor guy got released from prison that was innocent. He did 30 years. DNA proved that he didn't rape some lady. He did 30 years in prison. Guy's a born-again Christian. He said, my faith kept me strong. Could you imagine? Knowing that you are 100% right and being behind bars, being accused of something, the humiliation and everything to you and your family. God's gonna set the scales right one day. But right now, there's such an abuse of power, corruption, a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Unjust judgment in the original language is evil in Hebrew. That's where we get our word evil from. It means that it's morally perverse, unjust, wicked. And that's why he says, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? It's the old golden rule thing. He who has the gold makes the rules. And it seems if you've got enough money, you can just about get out of anything, can't you? Look around. Unjust judgment. They not only supported the perverse, the wicked, and the corrupt, but they oppressed the righteous people. And we see a lot of that going on today. You know, the oppression of the righteous. Just like today, you know, the purpose and responsibility of these offices is to represent the Lord and to uphold His law. I don't think they get that. Because we have these all of these liberal attorneys that twist the laws and they pervert the laws. And you know what? You can't pervert this book. It's yay and amen. Every cross T and every dotted I is the Word of God and you don't tamper with it. And what they are called to do as representatives, at whatever level of government it may be, they are to enforce the laws of God. What's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Absolutely nothing. God gave us those commandments so that we could dwell in unity together. And you know what? They can work anywhere in the world. The first four commandments are man's relationship with God, and the second six commandments are man's relationship with man. And they're absolutely perfect. I find no fault in not stealing. I find no fault in not committing adultery. I find no fault in having no other gods before Him. You know, right on down the line, every law is absolutely perfect and flawless. And God knows that we cannot govern ourselves. We are either going to be one nation under God or just one nation under, period. And that's the way we're headed. But yet, they twist, they misinterpret it, they pervert it, not realizing that one day the judge that is in the midst of the congregation is going to judge them. And that's why they say, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Wow. In contrast to judging unjustly and showing partiality to the wicked and perverting justice, God says this is what we're supposed to do. Look at verse 3. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. This is what God says to do. God, who is standing in the midst of the congregation. Here God reminds them of what their responsibilities are. A lot of times politicians make these promises, don't they, before they get into office. Oh, we're going to lower taxes and get more money into helping the poor and the needy and the widows. And, you know, Social Security, we'll get that back running again. And, yeah, they'll make all sorts of promises, won't they? And then put their hand on the book and promise to uphold the office that they've been elected to. How many have you seen do that lately? Honestly. Yes, there are some good ones. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? Unless they're obeying the word of the Lord, they're off track too. Very simply. It says they're to defend the poor. You know what that means? They are to plead on behalf of the poor. They are to reason on behalf of the poor. The word poor there is da'al in Hebrew. It's an interesting word in the Hebrew language. It means those that are hanging by a thread. Huh. Do we know any folks like that? Hanging by a thread. I'll tell you what, there's a lot more hanging by a thread this year than there were last year. And there were a whole lot more hanging by a thread last year than there were the year before. Things were pretty cool in the motor pool a couple of years ago. But now there's a lot of people hanging by a thread that thought they were pretty secure. They thought they had a steel cable, man, that they were hanging by. But you know what? A lot of people are hanging by a thread now. I believe God has allowed a lot of it. But we're to defend, we're to plead and to reason on behalf of the poor, that those that are hanging by a thread. To defend the fatherless. Hebrew, that means the lonely and the bereaved and the orphan. Those who don't have parents. Have a lot of those in America today too. And we need Christian programs for these fatherless kids, don't we? We don't need just pouring money into some secular thing, you know, that will not help their spirit and their soul and that will train them up in the ways of the Lord. God says, defend the fatherless, the lonely, the bereaved, the orphan. These young kids are going through a lot today. Some of them are in single families. Some of them are in foster care. And you know, it's been proven throughout history that a nation is only as safe as its elderly and as its children are. How safe are our elderly today and our children? Is this what we see today in America? Do we see that security? Do we see people defending the poor and defending the fatherless, those lonely, bereaved children without parents? Exodus 22:22 tells us in the moral law that you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. God lays it right out there clearly. But yet those that were perverting justice were oppressing the fatherless. They were oppressing the widows. Deuteronomy 10:18, God administers justice to the widow and to the fatherless, giving him food and clothing. You see, the orphan or the fatherless and the widow are very dear to the heart of God. Why? Because I believe they're some of the loneliest people on the planet. Children without parents, they're lonely. Widows without husbands, they're lonely. Take a trip some Christmas morning to a convalescent home and walk through and just peek into their rooms and see if you can really tell what day of the year it is. For the most part, you can't, because a lot of those folks are just sitting there lonely. How do I know? I've done that before. I've walked through the hallways of convalescent homes and care centers and seen people just sitting in the darkness and the loneliness of their room with nothing that gives evidence to what day of the year it is. They're heartbroken. They've been abandoned. They've been left. No one cares. But you know what? God cares. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah 10:17, woe to those who prey on widows and rob the fatherless. Boy, you don't think that happens? You don't think there's these rip-off scams and schemes to the elderly? You wouldn't believe some of the stories that I've heard and some of the things that I've seen with these hucksters that prey on the elderly and prey on widows. I've seen widows that get mail that it looks like official government letters to send in money to places, and they think the government wants them to send money in for taxes or whatever, and they will send their checks in from their Social Security or whatever, and it's to some huckster that's ripping them off. They have no idea where the money's going. That happens every day. And the next thing you know, their resources are depleted. They got no food. They got no money in the bank. Getting ready to lose their home and all. Because people prey on widows and they prey on elderly people. This is sad. It's tragic when more affliction is put on the afflicted by injustice. You see, justice is not to inflict people. Justice is supposed to help people. To do justice, to do what is right in the eyes of God. He has shown thee, Micah 5:2 says, O man, what is good and what the Lord desires of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. That's what God desires us to do. Amazingly enough, it's on the wall upstairs in the synagogue. Micah 5:2. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord desires of you. Notice verse 4. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They, speaking of the judges and the magistrates and the mighty ones, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. And so, verse 5 describes these judges that we've been looking at all along. What a picture of a nation whose leaders have turned a deaf ear to God's word and turned their backs on God. What a picture we see here. They don't know. They don't understand. Original language, they're stupid. The term walk about in darkness, they grope in darkness. You laugh. But you know what? April 1st is National Atheist Day. Because a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's April Fool's Day. And the word fool is to be an ignoramus. And by the way, ignoramus means agnostic. Someone told me, I'm an agnostic. And I said, hello, ignoramus, how are you? Yeah, that's what it means. Without knowledge, check it out. They take a lot of pride. Well, I'm an agnostic. They even say it like agnostic. And I say, imbecile. Isn't that crazy? They don't even know what the word means, but that's what they are. I'm an agnostic. Well, if you want to be an imbecile, that's up to you. But the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. And there's a lot of people that take pride in their stupidity. And such is some of these judges. Judges who know no justice. They don't know what just is. Judges devoid of proper judgment is what this means. And there are people in office today that are devoid of proper judgment. They think because the people want to legalize marijuana that that's the right thing to do. And it will help with the economy. Really? You already bought one lie that gambling was going to help the school system. If it has, why are they laying off school teachers? And why are we closing down schools? And why are people consumed with gambling, losing everything? Has it helped our schools? You know what? Sin never helps anything. When are we ever going to learn that? You know what I got to tell you? I know I'll catch some flack on this one. There's enough dopes driving down the road today without them smoking dope, don't you think? It's like, man, there's some people lately, I'm thinking, how did they ever get their license? It's scary out there, especially when the snowbirds start coming in, you know? And then we're going to legalize marijuana on top of it, so we're really going to be in trouble. But it's true. The roads are packed with people. Nobody's looking to change lanes. It's crazy out there. Point being that there are some that just don't understand when it comes to voting in laws. Just because we voted in doesn't mean that it's right before God. And just because it's legal to drink alcohol doesn't mean that God approves of getting drunk. And the same thing holds true with marijuana and gambling and everything else. And it's a sick nation that thinks that if we can vote in sin, that it's going to help our economy. Is there something wrong here? The term that's used for these guys, they do not know, nor do they understand. Benai is the term. They have no discernment, unable to distinguish, unintelligent, unable to deal wisely. And that's who's running the country when you have godless people. Running the nation. Wow. How sad is that? That's scary, isn't it? But it's good to know that God is in control. It says there that they walk in darkness. They walk about in darkness. You ever been in complete darkness? You can't see a thing. How can these, without direction, give direction? They're called leaders, but who are they leading? They can't even lead themselves. We have people that mislead people that are leading nations. The blind, Jesus said, leading the blind. He also goes on to say that all the foundations of the earth are unstable. That Hebrew word means that they're off course. The term is mot, M-O-T in Hebrew. All the nations, the foundations of the earth are off course. It means they're slipping and sliding. And they're falling into decay. It also means that there is lawlessness abounding. Anarchy, that means without law. It means in Hebrew that society is unhinged. It's pretty sad when the spotted owl is more precious than a fetus. Look at the fine that you pay if you destroy the egg of a bald eagle today. It's $5,000. But yet, there's no concern for a human fetus. Pretty sad. But here is a nation that's plunging deep into godlessness, corruption. And that's the nation that's being described here in Psalm 8. The leaders do not understand. They don't know. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. Whew. That'd scare me if I wasn't saved. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. But you know what? The good news is that God is in control for those of us that know Him. I saw a sign yesterday on a commercial that supposedly said, as of Monday, the White House is now under new management. Seen that sign? We'll see if it's under new management or not. We'll see if there be any change. But I don't get my hopes up too high if people put their hand on this book and don't know what it says. I don't get my hopes up too high if people aren't seeking after God's will and not man's will. I don't put too much hope in the government if people are seeking to please men and not God. And so what we need to do, folks, is to get on our knees and ask God to humble these men and women in office, that we would humble ourselves, that we would humble ourselves before Almighty God, and He would restore this nation to righteousness and truth. It was a great honor and privilege bestowed upon these judges and magistrates when they were sworn in. Boy, we won the election, and you know, they're all excited. They get sworn in. They're given power. They're given authority. But yet it's going to be a scary day when God judges them for what they did while they were in office. They're not exempt from being judged by the judge, nor will they be immune. They who enforce the law, they who dispense the law, will be judged by that very law. That's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? But you know what? If you're asking for justice, it's going to come. God's going to settle it once and for all. And you know what? Greater privilege brings with it greater responsibility, and it should be greater punishment. And so, you know, it's not all that it's made up to be by being someone that's in office or running a particular government office. Verse 7, notice. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. What does that mean? It means no matter what your office may be, it means no matter how great your title may be, it means no matter how great of a privilege you have, Asaph says right here, you're going to die like mere men. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes judgment. Do you know that the king will die just like the pauper? Do you know the ground is level at the grave? Job said, naked I came in, naked I go out. You know, the prince will die just like the pauper. Princess Diana died just like someone that was destitute. One day, we will stand before the Almighty Judge. The ground is level at the grave, and the rich and the poor will meet there one day. Pretty heavy stuff. Remember Lazarus and the rich man in Luke's gospel? His rich man sat dining sumptuously, didn't have a care in the world. And this poor beggar man by the name of Lazarus sat at his gates and ate the crumbs with the dogs. As a matter of fact, the dogs were licking his sores. The difference in the two? Lazarus knew the Lord. The rich man was a heathen. Scripture tells us that the rich man died and he was buried. Lazarus died. Scripture tells us that the angels carried him away. What a difference there. Lazarus woke up in Abraham's bosom in comfort. The rich man, he couldn't buy a drop of water for his burning tongue in torment. And you know what? The tables were turned in just a matter of seconds. I don't care how much money you have, how much wealth you have, how much fame you have, how many degrees you have behind your name, you can't buy one more breath here on earth than God chooses to give you. You can't buy one more beat of your heart. You can't buy a night's sleep. You can't buy a moment's peace. But you can have all of these things as a gift from Almighty God, because He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you everlasting life if you'll turn to Him. The rich man died. Lazarus died. But you know what? The difference and their destination was all in the Lord. Lazarus was a believer. You know what Charles Spurgeon says? Death unrobes the great. That's pretty heavy. Death unrobes the great. There's an undertaker in New York. He closes all of his letters with this, "Eventually yours." And he signs his name. "Eventually yours." In verse 8, we have the heart cry of Asaph, as well as, I would hope, your heart cry as well, because it certainly is mine. "Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations." The original Hebrew is "arise, Elohim." It means arise, God Almighty. He's saying, bring justice. You judge. Asaph is crying out to God, remove the corrupt. Those who corrupt and pervert justice. You ever feel that way? Just about every day. But you know, we have the hope and we have the assurance that Jesus Christ is coming back to rule and reign one day with righteousness. And everything will be perfect and righteous forever. You see, justice is coming one day. And it's coming sooner than most people believe. God is going to judge the judges one day. God is also going to defend the poor. He is. God is also going to defend the fatherless. God is going to do justice to the afflicted, to the needy, as we see here. He's going to deliver the poor and needy. You know what? The economy may never recover. You may never see retirement. More homes may go into foreclosure. Gas may reach $5, even $10 a gallon one day. But you know what? I don't really care, because Jesus stands in the midst of the congregation. And I believe that with all of my heart. And come hell or high water in this life, Jesus Christ stands in the midst of the congregation, and He shall not be moved. And He is the one that defends me, and He's the one that defends you. He's on our side. If there's anybody that should be shaking and quaking, it should be those that rule wickedly, those that are corrupt, those that rip off the elderly, those that rip off the widows, those that abuse children, those that abuse the fatherless. There's a hot place in hell for those that don't repent. There is Jesus in the midst of the congregation on our behalf. And we will stand before Him one day. But the good news is, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will not be, you'll be standing before Him as your judge. But if you reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will stand before Him at the white throne judgment, and you will be judged for your sins, and you will be cast in the lake of fire with Satan and his angels forever. If you don't think so, you need to read the rest of the book. Or go to NCIC for Roman study on Revelation. Eventually, in about maybe 5 years, I'll get to the end of the book, right? Yeah. I think he's like in chapter 3 now or something. Yeah. He's either your judge or your Savior. It's very simple. A very simple message. For those of us who believe, yeah, we might be oppressed right now, big deal. Go back and read Exodus. Remember, God's people were oppressed by Egypt and Pharaoh, and they were making bricks. And then Pharaoh got even meaner. He says, go get your own straw to make bricks. But Scripture tells us that the Lord heard the cry of His people, and He sent a deliverer. And right now, I believe that God hears the cry of His people, and the deliverer is coming again for the second time. The first time He came as Savior, the next time He's coming as Judge. The first time He came as the Lamb of God, the next time He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Look out, folks. What a glorious day that's going to be, because we're on the winning team. No more oppression, no more corruption, no more tyranny, no more violence. Jesus Christ is going to come, and He's going to judge the earth. He's going to rule the earth once and for all. 8 verses, 15 minutes or so. But you know what? Putting this together this week, I thought, yeah, these are all the things I complained about. I complained about the leaders, and I complained about corruption. I complained about all this other stuff. But you know what? It's got to happen before the return of our King. It's got to happen. Scripture tells us. But at the same time, you know, we have God as our protector, our defender. He's the one that watches over us. Someone told me today they were accused of living in a protective bubble. I like that. I'll take it. Won't you? Protective bubble, hallelujah. In the palm of my Father's hand. And no one shall pluck us out. So rejoice. Give thanks. Don't worry about the economy. Pray. Pray for your leaders. Pray, you know, for your neighbors. I mean, it's got to happen. But God is in control. Especially even more so when things get out of control. It's got to happen. So don't panic. Don't protest. Don't picket. Get down on your knees and pray, for God's sake. Draw closer to God. We win. This is not our home. So don't worry about the price of gas. One day we'll be cruising through the heavens, man. Won't even need a ride. We'll be just cruising it, you know? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And yes, sometimes some of these things look dark and depressing, even discouraging from a worldly perspective. But we're not of this world, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus, and because of him, we belong to you, Lord. And because of him, this earth is not our home. He's gone to prepare a place for us that where he is, we shall be also. And Lord, you said if you went away to prepare a place, you would come and receive us unto yourself. And thank you, Lord, that day is coming very soon. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord. You've not given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you're on the other team. Maybe God has spoken to you and shown you that today is the day of salvation. You need Jesus today. And if you would like to repent of your sins tonight and invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior and to have a new home in heaven, I'd like you to slip your hand up tonight. I just want to pray with you. Pastor Joe, pray for me. I just want to pray a simple prayer that you might have a personal relationship with him. What a way to start off the new year. Anyone before we close? Thank you, Lord, that you do stand in the midst of your congregation. And I do pray for those that are going through struggles, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, that you would just be the God of all comfort. Give us hope. We know that we have a future and a hope in you. And the sufferings of this time can't be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us one day. And so, Lord, we do thank you for the trials, the tests, the tribulations, because you allow them to strengthen our faith. And you allow them to draw us closer to you. And you allow them to temper us and to prove us and to burn up the dross in our lives. And so, Lord, may we draw near to you that you would draw near to us. So thank you for this evening. We do pray for our government, everybody from President Obama all the way down even to the city level. God, I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would convict them, bring them to their knees, and Lord, that we would return as a nation to you. And Father, it can't begin at the White House. It's got to begin at my house. I pray that me and my house would serve the Lord, and it would run over into the next door neighbor's house and the guy across the street and behind me. And this would be true for all of us, that it would begin at the street level. And we just wouldn't think that by getting Christian leaders in office that that's going to change our nation. We need a change of heart, Lord. We don't need a change of office. We need a change of heart. And so help us, Lord, to draw near to you and to turn and come back to you, and that this truly would be one nation under God. Would you do that, please? And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand one more time if you're able.
Amen.